Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm Ken Dolan Del Vecchio. I'm here with my friend and co-author, Nancy Saxton Lopez. And this is a program that we do live on Facebook and YouTube every Thursday from 6 p.m. to about 6:30 p.m., give or take. And it is a program that grew out of the book that we wrote a few years back called The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists Who Lead Pet Loss Groups. Nancy and I have led pet loss groups for
over 3 decades.
A really long time. It's like frightening to even note the decade. Nancy, even longer than me. And this program allows us to have more or less a dialogue with those who are interested in communicating with us, sending us their stories. So a lot of what we do on this program is we share stories that have been sent by audience members, and you can reach me at kenddv@gmail.com. You can reach Nancy at nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. And all of the information I'm sharing, including our email addresses, is also attached to the program, whether you're watching it live or as a replay or as an audio replay on one of the podcast outlets. So if you write to us, let us know if we can share your story. Let us know also if you would like us to not share your story, and we'll respond in any case. One or both of us will respond. You can also tell us that you'd like us to share it, but you're not sure that you don't want us to share certain parts of it. We can do that as well.
We can also change names.
Yeah, we can change names. We never say last names anyway. And now there's a number of ways that you can support our work. And the newest one is you can join our Substack. You can subscribe to our Substack, where you can read our email correspondence with listeners. And also you can see the photos that they send, the beautiful photos of their animal companion. So if you write to us and you tell us that we can share with our audience, we are likely to get around to sharing it on the program and also putting it on the Substack in terms of the letters that we write back and forth. And sometimes the correspondence is fairly substantial back and forth, because sometimes people check in with us or we check in with them. And you'll be able to see that if you subscribe. You can support our work in a number of other ways, through Venmo, gift, or a PayPal, or a monthly subscription on Spotify. All of the above are also in the program. Everything I'm saying is in the program description. I got to get a little more organized today, Nancy. This program is a friend of Dakin Humane Society in Springfield. Dakin does all kinds of wonderful things for animals who are rescued. It has, of course, a center where they... you can adopt rescued animals, but also is very focused on the human-animal bond. And one of the programs that they support is a monthly cost-free Zoom pet loss support meeting that I facilitate. It is on the second Tuesday of the month, and it runs 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. You will find an RSVP link in the description, and the next one is going to be on April 9th. And it's totally free for you. You can join from anywhere in the world. And people, in fact, do. They join from everywhere and all across the country. And it's really interesting in that regard, because there's all kinds of different perspectives that people from different places bring. And that really enriches the conversation. Please consider subscribing on YouTube if you find this program valuable, because that helps other people find it when they're looking for pet loss support. Also, if you make a comment or if you give a thumbs up, either on Facebook or YouTube, it helps to raise the visibility of the program. Mm-hmm. And so we thank you if you will do that. Finally, we like to let you know that we are an affiliate of a company called Bereave. Bereave makes these really well-crafted granite memorial plaques that have the image of your pet, your animal companion who you've lost, and also the information about their life, their birth, and the date that they left us. And really solid, really nice plaques. And if you purchase one of these, you are also giving some measure of support to this program. And Nancy has one that we got
this
as a sample.
Daily.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's just really well done. We're very impressed with mm-hmm. them. So Nancy, want to get us started?
Yes. We have two stories tonight. And they both are two dogs that have epilepsy and a lot of seizures. Now, I'm going to share Rachel and Buster's story because it's a little Frenchie. And you know, Ken, that I have two little rescue Frenchies. And Boogie does have epilepsy. And I had my little Hank, my pug, who also was epileptic. So I can really, you know, my heart is in this. So this is Rachel and Buster's story. I started listening to your podcast, and my grief journey began New Year's Day, 2024. My partner and I had to make the decision to let Buster go on New Year's Eve. I was unprepared, but knew in my heart this is what we needed to do for him. Without going into all the details, as that is what is the painful, sad part, I felt compelled to write immediately. If they come out, then that's what's meant to be. So she's having a lot. She's not wanting necessarily to share feelings, but they may come out, I think is what she's trying to say. I was sitting by the koi pond in our community listening to podcast 103. The second story began with Rachel. I was convinced somehow you got my story. Then as you were reading about Trapper and his epilepsy, I thought that you just changed the details of my story. No coincidence. I continued listening. Buster, our beloved French bulldog, was just about 3.5 years old. We adopted him as a puppy. He became our child and soul dog. He only spent one night away from home, with the exception of the last 5 months of visits to the ER for his cluster seizures to be broken by meds. He was Mr. Velcro, Mr. Mommy's Boy, Mr. Soccer Player, Mr. HOA President, Mr. L. Patron, and the Landscaper's Assistant, and so on. He had a neurologist who treated him when we felt his epileptic seizures could be managed, and we were hopeful. Those seizures or events were traumatic for us to record, watch, and hear, and how well I know that. Like Rachel from the podcast, he paddled, foamed, urinated, and when done, it would take hours or days to bounce back. Once the anti-seizure meds were adjusted, it was weeks before we saw the old Buster. Once we started to see the old Buster, boom, another cluster. The last event on New Year's Eve was awful. The at-home medication to administer to break the cluster didn't work. He was the oppo dog. Hiding, staring at walls, wouldn't sit or lay down, heavy breathing. And with that particular medicine, he was so out of it, he couldn't even stand. It was gut-wrenching. We tried to contain him in the bedroom on the rug so he wouldn't slip and fall. We knew. Another visit to the ER at 3:50 a.m. Fast forward to now, we are both grieving and healing in our own ways. I have found great mindfulness in journaling, listening to you two, and puzzling. I try to be grateful for all that he gave us in that short time, but I am still hit by the images of when he wasn't our happy little guy. My partner had struggles with routine and structure that Buster created, even the 2 times a day medication doses. Our grief has brought us closer, as did Buster's unconditional love. What has helped me tremendously is my other support system, tools, if you will, of a 12-step program, which I've been part of for 13 years. They are my guardrails on this journey. Please feel free to share this, as it may help someone struggling. Thank you kindly. And I think that she, I think Rachel saw you. I think she was at the group.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I, going through that,
and here's Buster, by the way.
Yes, Buster's such a boy. He's such a cute little boy. He's a sweet man. I mean, I've witnessed clusters. You know, I've gone through it with, I have Boogie who suffers from epilepsy now. And I rescued him knowing that, right? That he was loved. And I had Hank.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most difficult things that you will ever witness and experience, because even though they don't feel it, it's really hard to watch.
Yeah.
And so I can really, I resonate with Rachel and her partner's, you know, experience of having to deal with their companion that really couldn't make it through the epilepsy. He just had too many clusters. And the midazolam, I think, is what she's talking about, is the last resort. And you either put it through the nose or through the rectum. We've had to do that a couple of times with Boogie. But if it didn't work, I mean, that's just so sad. But they did what they, you know.
They did everything possible. Yes, and absolutely. It's so very sad.
Absolutely.
That he was only 3.5 years old. I mean, that's just so young.
Yeah.
And you know, when we have an animal companion, we know they're not gonna live anywhere near the human lifespan, but we certainly would expect that they're gonna be with us for maybe a decade, and that perhaps even beyond that. And this is just very, very sad. And he was a very charismatic
yes.
little dog.
Little boy.
he was everywhere they were, it sounds like. And lots of people knew him. He was their association president. So many people knew and loved him. And so it was a huge, huge loss. And so many things that she said are probably resonating with other people. And then one thing that I noted was that her partner had struggles with the routine structure, because there's so much structure that you need to adhere to when you have an animal who needs regular medication. It reminds me of my Chihuahuas when they were elderly. They all needed lots of medication at least twice a day. And so when you no longer have them, it's very strange because
you have a lot of extra time, right?
And it's very weird and unpleasant.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, because you know that the reason you have that time is because they're no longer here. Mm-hmm. And so you then have to figure out what to do with that time. And then you might, you know, there's a whole mix of feelings that go with the fact that you have the relief of having more time.
Mm-hmm.
And that can take quite a while. One of the things that really struck me that I've highlighted in her letter is that their grief brought them closer.
Yes.
Because that's a really good thing, because it doesn't always happen.
It can happen the other way, and this happened the best way.
She said we each grieve in our own way, but it brought them together. And it's very beautiful the way she said it. Our grief has brought us closer, as did Buster's unconditional
love.
That's very great. That's really just great, I think.
And I can I understand. We have alarms 3 times a day, both my husband and I, for meds, you know, and you have to make sure you get the meds. Sometimes there's an issue because phenobarbital is a controlled substance. I mean, it's a lot, but you do it because you love them and they love you back.
And her 12-step program
is helpful.
Teaches acceptance of those things we cannot change. And so that's really a key support for her. And I'm glad she's mentioning that.
Yes.
Because it's probably a key support for many, many people. There are many 12-step programs for various things that we may struggle with. And so undoubtedly that community is going to be a place that offers comfort and support as well. So that's really great.
I want to thank Rachel for sharing.
Thank you so much, Rachel. And what a beautiful little
such a baby boy.
I also just want to we have a comment that I'll show. It's from Dana, who says, thank you guys for what you do for us grieving pet guardians. Your podcast was one of the biggest comforts when I lost my boy last year to cancer at age 10.
Oh, Dana, thank you. We're sorry for your loss. Yeah.
So now I'm going to share a story from D&M.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Dear Ken and Nancy, thank you so much for your podcast. It's been an incredible support in this last year, as I have been dealing with anticipatory grief as our sweet Ollie's health declined. Let me show Ollie as well.
Yeah, Ollie's beautiful too.
So this is Ollie. He's a Labradoodle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, this is Ollie close up.
I'm so cute.
Let's see. I remember we got our Labradoodle. Let's see. Yeah, we got our Labradoodle Ollie 14 and a half years ago. I remember I felt like he chose us when he came over to us and cuddled his way into our hearts. With his sweet brown nose and soft apricot fur, he was our little buddy and our little love. My partner picked him up the day he came home, and I'll never forget arriving home to see her sitting in the living room and little Ollie popping his head up, so curious and full of joy. He had such a playful way and brought us so many years of joyful memories. His signature was his singing howl that he greeted people with. He didn't bark much, but if you knew Ollie, you knew his sweet singing. He quickly became our Ollie Wally, Prince Ollie, Fluffer Duffer, I think, Sunshine Bear, and the list goes on. Just a wonderful ball of love and fun. About a year ago, Ollie started to have seizures, which were just too awful to experience. We had numerous tests done and learned that Ollie had liver disease, and the vet also suspected something neurological was going on. Ollie was also having trouble with his back hips, which we were told would only get worse. There was not a lot we could do but manage the seizures with medication twice a day, and we tried a liver supplement, which seemed to help. It was so hard to see him decline. It was gradual and emotionally difficult. We watched Ollie closely and did our best to determine how his quality of life was. Ollie had a monthly seizure for about a year. We felt we were managing well with his meds. In August last year, we had to increase the medication because the seizures became more frequent, once every 3 weeks. At that point, he was showing more signs of decline. He walked very slowly, and his vision and hearing were not great. We also had to start helping him up and down the steps. We started giving him glucosamine, which seemed to help with his mobility. He still loved being outdoors, and we learned to go for more of a stroll in the neighborhood instead of our usual long walks. He was still our happy, sniffy boy, and I would tell him daily that I loved him and that he would stay with us as long as he wanted. I hoped we would still get to have him for a while, and we made it through the fall and winter, which were his favorite seasons. He loved the cold and snow. Sadly, in this new year, Ollie was becoming more confused, and his back legs were not working well at all. We got to the point where we would find him in precarious places, and he started losing his footing and fumbling quite a bit. We managed to get him these special pads for his feet so that he could grip better, and that really helped. He had good days and bad days. We did everything we could to support our old guy and continued to evaluate his quality of life. For our sweet boy, the things he loved most were his walks, running and playing fetch, and treats. It didn't feel fair to have him stumbling and falling, and we were at the point where some days he needed help to keep his balance while eating and drinking. I had to ask myself the difficult question, if we were holding on to him for us or for him, was it time to say goodbye? We had been in discussions for several weeks trying to decide when it would be the right time. I knew that there never would be a right time. Ollie's seizures were now about a week apart. We knew on the day that he had two seizures within 8 hours, it was too much. We spent that day with him and reminisced and shared our favorite memories, thank yous, and said our goodbyes. He was such a good dog, and he was there for us through some of our most difficult times and also left us with such happy memories. We brought our sweet buddy into the vet one last time and stayed with him right to the end. We sang to him. We told him that we loved him and we're here for him and that he was not alone. He went very peacefully. I dreaded that last day. It was so painful to say goodbye to our best friend. We feel his absence. I realized that we constantly would interact with him, especially in this past year when he needed us most, whether on our walks, when we shared a snack, or through daily transitions. He was always there. We were lucky for his dear presence and companionship. It's just not going to be the same without him. I know we did our very best for him, but the immense emptiness his loss leaves is hard to bear. Thank you for receiving this. It's a great comfort to share our story, and I've been appreciative of the many stories shared on your podcast. Please feel free to share if you think it can be of support. Sincerely, D and M.
Well, that also says to what Rachel's partner was, that the routine, right? And the more that you start to take care of your companion animal, especially in illness, it all of a sudden, all of that time after you know, they're gone is very, it's magnified, right? Because it's quiet. So many people say, well, the house isn't the same.
Yeah, you know, the absence is enormous. Yeah.
Right. There's the energy is gone, right? There's no energy there anymore. But they did the right thing. I mean, they did a lot for this. They did as much as they could for this boy. I mean, I love the little pads that they got for his feet.
Yeah, I mean, they were watching all the increasing needs that he had and trying to meet those needs in a way that would keep him going. At the same time, they were gauging this question, if we were holding on to him for us or for him.
Yeah.
And that's a very important consideration when you have this kind of decline. She said at the beginning that she had all of this anticipatory grief, and that was going that's on right. for a long time, as it does when you have an animal who has a progressive disability.
Right.
And the way they helped him transition was so beautiful. They were singing to him. They were telling him how much they loved him.
Holding him.
And, you know, that's the way I want to die, with people who love me.
My dogs with me.
With my dogs too, of course.
Yeah. But they say that sometimes people really have a hard time being there at death.
Yeah.
They do have, and that's understandable.
Sure.
If you can do it.
Yeah.
It really, I think, in a lot of ways is helpful. Not only to your animal, but to yourself.
Sure, sure. And if you can't,
maybe somebody else, another
family member, a very close friend, maybe somebody else can be present with them. And if not, then the veterinarian, most veterinarians will do this in a way that's very caring and gentle. Mm-hmm. And so you have to always be taking care of your beloved animal companion and yourself, really.
And, right. You know, it's interesting because, Ken, you and I worked at Morristown for a long time and a hospital here in New Jersey. And I worked in the ER. Ken worked in the inpatient unit. And we had a death, right? It was a trauma unit. So there were people that came in that had died. And we did ask if their family, if they would like to go in and see their loved one.
Lord, yeah. Yeah.
And we had to tell them they could be a lot of tubes in them and whatever. Now, some people elected to do it. Some people, you know, didn't. But we also explained it when you see them at death, it starts kind of that process of grieving and healing, though, that you know. Because I've had clients that say, I didn't see my father, so is he still alive, right?
That's that part that part of grieving where you are in disbelief, you're numb, the reality of what's happened is not there for you. And so if you can, it's often a very important, it allows you to have the recognition that this is
That's
real.
Right.
You'll need to come back to it over and over and over again. And if you can't, one of the things that you and I have talked about as well is when that animal or that human being is no longer alive, they don't look the same. They look like a husk or a shell. They don't look like
their spirit is gone.
The spirit is so clearly gone. It's quite an amazing thing to witness. They just don't look like the same person or the same friend who you knew.
But that again, it starts that no matter how painful and upsetting and maybe shocking and there's denial there, but it does start that process. It's a hard thing to do, but both Rachel and both D&M have done this. They did the best they could for their animal.
Yeah. And they gave them the gift of a peaceful transition rather than an agonizing, suffering transition.
And it's interesting too, because I've had a few people that they came home and their animal had died. Mm-hmm. And that for them is almost more traumatic because they don't know what happened and they weren't there.
Yeah.
You know, and so they can't get that vision, you know, out of their head.
Yeah, either way, that image, that final image is often haunting. And eventually it softens, it becomes, there are many other more positive images that
you come forward.
That can be a very hard thing in the grieving process to dispel that image. It just kind of comes back of its own accord. Sometimes when we want it least, and when we least expect it. Mm-hmm. So we want to thank D&M, and we want to thank Rachel for their sharing, and wish them well. We know that they may still be in a time when their feelings are all over the place.
It's not been that long for either one of them.
So we want to also just remind you, if this is helpful, this program is helpful, please do consider subscribing and maybe making a comment, because that helps other people to gain access to it when they're searching for support.
Take care, everyone.
Take care, everybody.